We're going to walk through quite a bit of scripture today. I would say turn to Ephesians 5, but we're going to be all over scripture today. A lot of scripture I want to go through today. As we talk about and clarify, I think what is one of the most important commands in scripture concerning the Holy Spirit. We've been walking through this series, and we've been talking about really just clarifying what is the Holy Spirit and how do we experience the Holy Spirit? What should we expect of the Holy Spirit? What should we expect to experience of the Holy Spirit? Because it's been one of the most divisive topics in church history, and it's just there's so much confusion surrounding the topic of the Holy Spirit. And I think, sadly, one of the reasons there's so much confusion over the topic of the Holy Spirit is because so few churches talk about the Holy Spirit, and so few pastors teach on the Holy Spirit. And so where there's a lack of understanding, of course, there's going to be a confusion, and that's what confusion is, right? Lack of understanding. And so this whole series, my heart in this is to just bring clarity to what is the Holy Spirit, and how do we experience the Holy Spirit, and what does Scripture tell us to do concerning the Holy Spirit? And I want to show you, again, what I have said is one of the most important commands of Scripture concerning the Holy Spirit. And I want to show it to you first in Ephesians 5:18, but it's all throughout the New Testament of the Bible. And so we're going to talk about this. Ephesians 5:18, it says this: do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, which is like immoral behavior. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I want to talk to you today about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And this is what Scripture is commanding us to do. Be filled with the Spirit. The word filled here literally means to be saturated under the direct influence of. And like filled up to where you're overflowing. And so I think when Paul's writing this letter, he's like, oh, I need to write to them about the dangers of alcohol and drunkenness and how, you know, you shouldn't get drunk. And so he's like, you know, don't get drunk on wine. And then I think the Holy Spirit kind of spawns this thought in his mind like, oh, yeah, you know how alcohol, like you're when you're under the influence of it, it affects your mind, will, and emotions in a bad way? Well, I think Paul goes, oh, you know, I would say epiphany, but the Christian version of that is revelation. Oh, insight from the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit is in a positive way. The Holy Spirit influences your mind, will, and emotions in a good way. And so Paul's like, hey, don't get drunk on wine. Oh, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Get filled up with the Spirit, filled up to overflowing. The verb tense here of be filled is like present ongoing. In other words, it means keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so getting filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time experience. It's something that God wants us to continue experiencing. He wants us to live our whole lives, every second of every day, filled up, saturated, under the influence of His Holy Spirit. I heard it described this way one time. It's a really good picture of like a sailboat with like a big sail on it. And the verb tense he's using here of being filled continuously with the Holy Spirit is think of it like that sail. The wind has to continually fill that sail for that ship to have the power to get to go where it needs to go. And so if you look at that sail and it's like, oh, it's filled with the wind. And then 2 seconds later, the wind dies down and the sail kind of gets droopy. It's not filled with the wind, right? And so we want to be filled with the Spirit, but he's saying keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So be filled with the Spirit, but keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is God's will. This is God's desire for us. And so it's this idea of the wind, which is a metaphor in Scripture of the Holy Spirit. Jesus compared it. He used this analogy of a river. Or a water, especially a river. He said it this way in John 7, 38 and 39. He said, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Okay? So when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit in you. But Jesus said that Holy Spirit's going to become like a river in you that flows out of you. You see, I think when God says in his word, be filled with the Spirit, it's not just so you are influenced in your mind, will, and emotions and your behavior to do what God wants you to do. I think he wants to fill you with the Spirit. And it's like this river that's the spring welling up into eternal life, right? But it wells up within you. And when you're filled with the Spirit, God's intention is that you overflow so that everybody around you gets wet with the presence of God. That's what he's wanting. Like when you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to manifest that outwardly, right? That's why some of you are new to church, like people are saying yes. Why are they saying amen? This makes me feel uncomfortable. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is gushing out of me and he's getting all over them and he's resonating in them and they're like, whoa, you know? Yeah, amen, whoa, yeah. Because when the Spirit is moving in you, man, you can't contain it. You're not supposed to contain it. He wants you to overflow. Why does he want you to overflow? So other people experience God. Because that's why he gives you a spiritual gift. Then he fills you with the Spirit, empowers you, anoints you, enables you, right? The empowerment, the filling is like, woo, I got to use this gift. Why? Because when you use your gift, other people experience the presence of God in a very real way. So important. And so being filled with the Spirit is so, 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 so very important. And this is something he wants us to experience in a very real way, but to keep on experiencing, to keep on being filled with the Spirit. So the question becomes, how do we get filled with the Spirit, right? How do we be filled? He says, be filled. It's a command. Well, I want to clarify, you can't just do it, right? It's like, well, hey, I'll be back. I got to go fill myself with the Spirit, you know? Like, you can't just do it. It is a grace work of God. God fills you with his Spirit. God does the filling. And so it's not something you can do on your own. You can't just make it happen. But the beautiful part is God has already promised in his word to fill you if you position yourself to receive it. It's similar to salvation, right? You can't go out and do good works to earn salvation, right? But God has already accomplished what is necessary for you to receive salvation. And it says in the word, it's his free gift. He's holding out the gift of salvation. But what do you have to do? You have to receive it. You have to repent and place all your faith and trust in Jesus. And if you will do that, what does he do? He saves you. Being filled with the Spirit is the same thing. There are things that you can do that if you will do them, God will fill you. He longs to fill you with his Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, just a few select really awesome people, you know, got blessed with the Holy Spirit, you know, got filled with the Holy Spirit, got the Spirit came on them in power, whatever language you want to use. But in the last days, and we're in the last days, how many of you know that? In the last days, God wants to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, on all mankind. This is his desire. He longs to pour out his Spirit. He longs to fill us with the Spirit. The question is, do we long to receive it? Do we long to receive it? I got an email from a friend of mine up in Michigan who was talking about being filled with the Spirit and what an amazing experience it was for her. And she'd never experienced anything like that in her life. And she was so blessed. And she's like, I thought I was a Christian before. She's like, but my faith just went to, you know, 11 on every level, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. Not 100. That wouldn't make sense. But it just went to 11. You know, it's just like, oh my goodness. And she was talking about this. And she's like, you know, God says you have not because you ask not. And she's like, you know, why aren't more pastors preaching and teaching on this, you know? Why aren't more people receiving this? And she said, sadly, I think it's because not very many people want it. And it's like, man, God longs to pour out so much more than you can handle, fill you up to overflowing. And he wants you to live in that place. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to just you to live in this place of overflowing. But how often do you position yourself to receive it, right? And so How do you receive all that God has for you? How do you receive that? Well, I want to talk about three ways that you position yourself to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. But there's kind of a prerequisite, okay? And so I want to talk about the prerequisite, and then I'll talk about the three ways. And so the prerequisite is profess your faith in Jesus Christ, okay? Become a Christian. Get saved. Ask Jesus to forgive your sin, okay? These are all synonymous terms, right? Confess your faith in Christ. So believe the gospel and confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Let me show it to you in Scripture. Acts 2:38, Peter replies to this crowd of people whom he's preached the gospel to, and they're cut to the heart emotionally, and they're like, oh, what do we do? And he says, here's what you do. I'll tell you what you do. Repent and be baptized. And he's talking about baptism in water. Every one of you, everybody, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. He's talking about salvation, quite obviously. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, this promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, whom the Lord our God will call. It's a promise of God. If you confess your faith in Jesus, you will receive the Holy Spirit. If you've confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, okay, and that was a sincere profession of faith on your behalf, and you really meant it, and you really repented of your sins, like, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. You have the Holy Spirit. You have it. Okay, it's a promise of God. And so look at your neighbor and tell them, that's a promise. That's a promise. You will receive it if you profess faith in Christ. And so if you are a Christian in this room, if you profess faith in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. It's what we would call the indwelling presence. The Holy Spirit comes inside of your spirit, and you're reborn. You're a new creation, and you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. But here's what I want to clarify today. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a different experience than having the Holy Spirit. Because how many of you know, every Christian has the Holy Spirit, so why don't we act like it all the time? You know why? Because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled means it consumes your thoughts. It consumes your mind. It consumes your whole being till you overflow, right? And so you can have the Holy Spirit, but you get distracted and you're focused on this and you're focused on that. You're focused on your worries and your problems, and your problems become bigger than your God, which means you're making it's like idolatry of negativity. I don't know why we do that, but we do. It's fear and worry. I guess I do know why. It's fear and worry. And then, but we do that, right? And then we're not filled with the Spirit. We're filled with all the problems of our lives. And we have the Spirit, but we're not filled up. We're not overflowing with the reality of God. And so you can have the Holy Spirit, but not be filled with the Spirit. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And then he wants you to keep on being filled. He wants you to stay in that place of overflowing. And so this is different than salvation. I like to think of it as this. You know, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will become a river that flows from within people who believe in him. I like to think of it as when you become a Christian, you get a tap. You get a Holy Spirit tap. And you can tap into that whenever you want, whenever you want. And sadly, we just don't very often just turn on the tap and let it flow. You know, we just don't do that very often. All right. If that analogy helps you, awesome. If it doesn't, just throw it out. Okay. That's how I like to think of it. Fish and bones, people. Eat the fish, spit out the bones. All right. So being filled is a different experience. In fact, Jesus talked about this, and I want to clarify this. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, he says, this is after he's risen from the dead, but before he ascends to heaven. So he kind of stays on earth for about 40 days after he's risen from the dead. So on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about." He's talking about the Holy Spirit. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." You have to understand the Greek word for baptized or baptism simply means to immerse in something, to dip in something. Like literally in Greek, if you were saying, hey, I'm going to dip my chip in this salsa, you would say, I'm going to baptize my chip in this salsa. Now, that sounds weird in English because the word baptism has become purely a religious word. But in Greek, it was like, yeah, get baptized into Jesus, baptize your chip in salsa. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, just get immersed. Just immerse, just dip it, right? That's all it means. So he's saying, you know how John immersed people in water? Well, in a few days, and in fact, it would be about 10 more days, you're all going to be immersed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled up to the point that you're just overflowing and it can't be contained, and everybody's immersed, everybody's swimming in the Holy Spirit, the holy presence of God. Okay, he's like, that's going to happen in a few days. And it would, in fact, be 10 days after he ascends on the Jewish holiday of Pentecost. Okay. And then they still think Jesus is going to be an earthly king. They're like, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? And they ask a few questions. And he goes, no, that's not what I'm talking about. But verse 8, he says, but here's what I am talking about. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. Okay. You'll receive power, a filling of power. The word there means supernatural ability to do that which you could not do on your own, supernatural grace to do what God wants you to do. He's talking about spiritual gifts. You're going to be empowered with spiritual gifts when the Spirit comes on you. And that grammar is very important. The Spirit is coming on you, immersing you, filling you, to be empowered to do that which God wants you to do, okay? He's talking about the baptism of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, which I would say are synonymous terms, okay? And so the question is, did they already have the Spirit, right? Because some people were like, well, no, he's talking about he's going to give them the Spirit. No, they already had the Spirit. They already believed in Jesus, right? So they had the Spirit in them, right? Yes. In fact, I want to show it to you because this is a verse that I think we just read right over and we don't even think about what it means and the implications of it so often. John 20, verses 19 through 22. I want to show you when the disciples of Jesus got saved, when they were reborn in Christ. Okay, you want to see it? It's right here. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Okay, it's talking about Resurrection Sunday. Like, he died on a cross 3 days previous, he rose again, and this is the first time they're seeing him alive after dying on the cross. He apparently walks through locked doors, and if he did that in your house, he would have to say, peace be with you too, because you would be losing your mind, all right? But he tells them, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. See, guys, I really died. I was really dead. I'm really alive. Good to see you. And it says, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. He's like, calm it down, guys. I got something to say here. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And listen to this verse. And with that, he breathed on them. That's what it means. That's what he did. And said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. This is the moment when Jesus' disciples are born again. They're saved. Now, some people are like, wait a second. They've believed in Jesus for 3 years, right? Yeah, they believed in him as the Messiah, the chosen one who was to come from God. But how are we saved and born again? We're saved and born again by believing in the work of Jesus on the cross to forgive sins. He died for us, and then he rose again. He hadn't died yet. So he died, he rose again, accomplished the gospel, rose again, proving himself to be God, proving himself to have authority to forgive sins, and then he appears to his disciples. This is the first time they've seen him. This is the first time they've realized the fullness of the gospel. And of course, they believe it. How could you not when he's standing right there in front of you, right? And he says, all right, you believe. Good. Receive the Holy Spirit. They receive the Spirit in them. They're reborn, but they haven't been filled. They haven't been empowered yet. They haven't received spiritual gifts yet. And that's what he's talking about in Acts 1 when he says in a few days, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? Immersed in, okay? And listen to the description of that in Acts chapter 2. This is 10 days later. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were what? Would you say it with me? All of them were? filled. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift. They were gifted. They were empowered. They were filled up with the Holy Spirit. This is, Jesus said, in a few days, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think my belief is, the way I read Scripture, the baptism of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit are synonymous terms. Other terms used in Scripture, the anointing of the Spirit, right? The gifting, spiritual gifts. I believe these are all synonymous terms, synonymous experiences, synonymous meaning they're similar, they're the same. But Scripture uses different words, I believe, because there's different facets of it, right? There's different ways it can operate, and God uses different words intentionally in His Word to help us have a fuller understanding of what it's like in different situations, right? But they get baptized in the Spirit, and they're filled, it's overflowing. How could you not be filled when you're immersed in the Spirit? I'm telling you, it's a synonymous experience, okay? And so they're filled up to overflowing, they're empowered, they're anointed, they're gifted now, and of course they immediately begin using those gifts. All of a sudden, wow, Peter magically has insight into Joel 2. What is that? That's not magic. That's supernatural enablement of knowledge and wisdom and the prophetic knowledge of knowing what Joel 2 means. Oh, it's what's happening right now. I'm going to preach a sermon on it. Oh, and I'm going to preach the gospel, and oh, 3,000 people get saved. Wow, that's amazing what happens when you use your spiritual gifts, isn't it, right? Other people are getting filled up with Jesus, right? And that's God's desire. And so being filled with the Spirit, it's an experience God wants you to have. I think many Christians who don't even talk about this stuff have had an experience like this. They just wouldn't call it that. They would call it, I was sitting in church and he was preaching. It just hit me so hard and I just started crying. I just was like, the Lord's so good, you know, and yeah, you got filled with the Spirit. That's what that was, okay? But some denominations have made it such a one tiny specific thing so narrow over here. But when you read the filling of the Spirit in Scripture and all the different ways that it happens, it's like, no, it just means the Holy Spirit fills you up and you're immersed and your mind's like, oh, God's so good. And you just gush forth with, you know, telling people about Jesus, or, oh, you just want to love, you just want to serve, you know, whatever happened, you just sit there and bawl like a baby, however you experience it, you know? And so God wants us to be filled with the Spirit, but He wants us to live our lives in that place. He wants us to keep on being filled. And so what's really important is positioning yourself daily to be filled with the Spirit, okay? And to receive the Spirit and to operate in the Spirit. And so how do we be filled with the Spirit? How do we position ourselves to be filled with the Spirit? I think that's a better question. I think there's three main ways, okay? And I want to walk through each of them and talk about them. Number one is ask God. Ask God, otherwise known as prayer, right? Ask God. In Luke 11, Jesus tells a parable about prayer. And then in the context of that parable about how we should always pray and never give up. And then he says this in Luke 11, right after the parable about prayer. This is all about prayer. He says, So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. To the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. He's talking about prayer. And then he says this in that context. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the what? Give the Holy Spirit to those who do what? Ask. So in the context of prayer and how it's so important that we should always pray and never give up, that we should ask, seek, knock, pursue, right? Passionately pursue. Does that sound familiar to anybody? It sounds like a sermon I preached last week, right? Passionately pursue. Ask God daily. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, all right? Ask God for the Holy Spirit, right? Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Listen, I've learned Invite God into every day. Invite the Holy Spirit into every relationship. Invite him into every conversation. Invite him into every circumstance. Invite him into every situation. Invite him into every decision. Invite, 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 invite. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Hey, you have the Holy Spirit, right? But who is the Holy Spirit? He's a person, right? You could have the wisest person sitting next to you in a decision or in a relationship or a situation, but if you just blaze forward and do your own thing, you're not getting their advice, are you? What do you have to do? Hey, what do you think I should do about this? What do you think I should tell them? What do you think I should do in this decision? You turn toward them and you ask them. And then if they're a decent friend, they'll tell you what they think. How many of you know God is the best friend you'll ever have? And turning, repentance is turning away from sin and turning to God. But man, turn to God every single day. God, I invite you into this day. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, show me what to do today, right? And so inviting the Holy Spirit in, ask. We've been doing this as a staff here recently. Really, we've done it. It's been a part of my personal life for many years now, but we'll talk through decisions. You know, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let them ask God, right? So if you have wisdom, if you know what to do, and you know it's godly wisdom, and you just know, right? You just go do it, right? But if you're lacking wisdom on a decision, what should you do? Ask. We'll get into staff meetings. We'll talk about, should we do this or should we do this? And it's like, they both would be good. We don't know which would be better, you know, which is better. What's the best decision? And we'll just labor over it. It's like, man, we can't know. How do you know? Let's all just ask God right now. And we call it listening prayer. Hey, let's just pray. Holy Spirit, right now, just silence our flesh. Silence what we want. Silence every other voice. God, what do you want us to do in this situation? Which decision should we make? We just sit there in silence for, doesn't take long, like 30 seconds, a minute. You know, if you're sitting there next to your friend and you say, hey, what do you think I should do? They're going to tell you. They're not going to wait like 20 minutes and then eventually tell you something. They just tell you, right? And in my experience, every time we've done this, immediately, like within 10 seconds, ideas, thoughts, words start coming into your mind. And then especially in a group setting, it's really cool. You get done, you're like, hey, what'd you guys hear? What were you thinking? And then it's amazing the unity that comes, oh, well, I was thinking this. Well, that's interesting because I was thinking this. Oh, that'd be cool. This kind of worked together. Yeah, we should make this decision over here, shouldn't we? And it's literally inviting the Holy Spirit to give you insight and wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let them ask God. That's called prayer, okay? And under this category, I would also say in prayer, if you know there's a sin in your life, you need to confess that and repent to your Heavenly Father because nothing will stop the flow of the Holy Spirit like sin. Nothing will rob your confidence in God like sin. Especially three main categories, sexual immorality, fear, and anger. Fear also being worry and anxiety. Anger also being unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, resentment towards another human being or towards God. And so if you know you have those things, dear Jesus, I have these things. Please forgive me. And then renouncing the enemy's effect on you. And I renounce spirit of lust. I renounce fear of worry in Jesus' name. I'm forgiven in the blood of Christ, you know. And that's what we would call deliverance in our healing prayer. And man, I'm telling you, do that stuff. And you'll be amazed how, the spirit just starts flowing again, you know. You feel connected to God again. It's amazing. And so ask God, okay. That's how you position yourself. Prayer is the main way that we are filled with the Spirit, that process is facilitated in our lives. Again, because God does the filling. And so when you turn to God and ask him, he's like, yep, I'm glad to. Boom, here you go, right? Okay, number two, scripture. It's not really like something you do, right? But I had to just say scripture because it could be reading scripture or it could be just hearing scripture, sitting in the presence of a sermon or a podcast, hearing scripture. And here's why, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, literally means of the Holy Spirit. All scripture is of the Holy Spirit and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Okay? So when you read the Bible. You're reading the Holy Spirit's inspired, revealed word to mankind. And it's kind of like, you know, when you're getting to know someone, how do you get to know them? They tell you their story, right? Do you know whose word God loves the most? His, right? Because it's also what saves, heals, delivers, sets us free, and all that. It's also what we need the most, like the word of God. So God wants you to know his story. If you're getting to know him, he's like, oh, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you my word, right? His word is powerful. His word is everything. It's what created us. It's what sustains us. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word. Yeah, but on every, okay, there we go. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. But here's a cool story in Acts chapter 10. I love this story. Peter goes to Cornelius' household. Cornelius is a non-Jewish person, the first non-Jewish person that's going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so he goes to his household, and he's preaching about Jesus. It says, he says, Jesus dies on the cross, Jesus rose from the dead, and now forgiveness of his sins is being proclaimed in every nation, you know? And so that's the gospel. And it says, while he was still speaking these words, Acts 10, 44 and 45, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. It goes on to say that they heard them prophesying and speaking in tongues. Here's what I love about this story. Cornelius was a God-fearing man. He believed in the God of the Jews. He believed in the Old Testament of the Bible, like good religious people did up until Jesus came, right? That's the precursor. That's what set the stage for Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment. And so he believed all that, but he hadn't heard about Jesus yet. And God sends Peter there, and Peter's preaching about Jesus. And boom, the Holy Spirit falls on, or another word you could use is fills him and his whole household. And they have spiritual gifts now. Wow. And so what happened? And well, here's why I love this story. Cornelius and his household did not even make a profession of faith. They didn't even say, say the prayer. You know, they hadn't even been baptized in water yet. What happened? They heard the gospel. They sincerely believed it with all their heart. And God goes, there you go. You're saved. And boom, here's the Holy Spirit. And they didn't even ask. I love that. That's the grace of God in action. Like, man, you believe this. You haven't even asked yet. Boom, Holy Spirit. Woo! You know, saved and filled. Boom, in the same moment. That's what happened. Now, here's why. Another reason I love that story. This isn't a formula. And so some churches teach it like a formula. And I honestly believe that's why there's so much confusion on, because so much of the division from church to church is, but how's this work? You don't want to know so much division in churches from denomination to denomination? Yeah, but at what point are you actually reborn spiritually? That's what, is it before you get wet in water or is it after you get wet in water? That's what so much debate is over. At what point are you actually saved? Well, that Jesus said it's like the wind, right? Nobody knows where it's coming from or where it's going. It's really hard to tell, isn't it? Right? And so maybe we shouldn't make it a formula and say, well, you're saved the moment you say words. Then you could make you make a profession of faith. Then you could make an argument. Well, that's an action. That's an act. That's a work of yours. You're so good that you said the prayer. Well, you're saved now, right? You can make that argument, right? Some churches say, well, say a prayer. That's great. Confess Christ. Yeah. You got to get wet because it says you're saved by baptism. I mean, you got to get wet. If you don't get wet, if you don't get in the water, you're still going to hell. So if you profess Christ and you're coming up and you trip on the stage and hit your head and die, sorry, went to hell, right? Sorry, didn't make it. Like some churches, the way they teach baptism, that's how strong. At what point are you actually saved? Here's what I would say, and I think this is biblical. The moment you have sincere faith in Jesus. But when is that for every individual on the planet? Yeah, it's really hard because it's down to the speed of a thought that you hear the gospel and you believe in. You believe, sincere faith. That's what happened to Cornelius. Sincere faith. Boom, you're saved, and I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. It's totally grace. And so, yes, we ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and when we do, he will. But man, I'm so thankful in my life for all the times he's blessed me in the Holy Spirit. He's spoken a word to me. when I'm not even seeking him. You know, that's a grace. It's so good. I love it. And so God loves his word. And so many people are filled with the Holy Spirit and you don't even know it through the preaching of the word. Right? And so get in the presence of the word. Every single morning, I try to read the scriptures every single day. Even on a bad week, it's like 5 to 6 mornings out of the week, I'm reading scripture. And I'm not studying for a sermon. I'm starting my day with coffee and Jesus, all right? And coffee is slightly less important, you know what I mean? But Jesus is everything, all right? And I think I could survive without coffee, but it sure is, they just go hand in hand, don't they? And so every morning I get my coffee and I sit there and I open my Bible. And I've learned to say this prayer, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me in a fresh way through your word today? And then you're listening. I used to read scripture to get through it because I'm on a Bible New Year plan and I got to read 17 chapters today. You know? And what happens is you're just blazing through it. You're not listening as you're reading. And now I've learned, like, man, I just read. I still do the plan thing. I try to get through it. But if I come to something that stirs my spirit, I'm like, ooh, or I feel like God's speaking to me, I'll just stop. And maybe you just get a verse that day. If the Holy Spirit's empowering a word, all you need is a verse that day, okay? That's what you want. You want to read to listen. And I'm telling you, you'll be amazed. There's so many mornings when I get filled with the Holy Spirit from just reading his word. And I get so amped and I'm like, oh, I gotta go write a sermon. I'll be back. I gotta go right now. I got too many ideas. Woo! You know? Because I just get filled up, man. Literally in a Holy Spirit kind of way, just through reading the Bible. All right? And so, scripture, and of course, sitting in church, hearing the word proclaimed. So important. So ask God, read or listen to scripture as much as you possibly can. And then number three, which is the one that probably is talked about the least and is where I want to end up today. And hopefully we're going to experience this today and practice it. But it's the laying on of hands, okay? Meaning prayer, where someone prays for you and touches you and puts their hands on you. It's called in Scripture the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands was done in the New Testament for several different reasons, okay? And we see all of these in the New Testament. To heal people physically, to bless them, to impart the Holy Spirit and his gifts, and to release them into their calling or ministry. Now, in most churches, they'll talk about laying on of hands, but they'll only talk about it as that last one. Oh, you're going to be an ordained pastor. Okay, we'll put our hands on you and pray for you. And that's the only time you ever hear about it in a lot of churches. When you read the totality of the New Testament, you see this is for everybody. And you see that God wants us to be doing this all the time, and it's blessing prayer. There's a mentality, because of that, in American Christianity, there's a mentality that, well, you only get prayer if you're really jacked up, okay? You know? And I've literally went to pray for someone, because I'm just like, man, I love you so much. Man, God loves you. I think God wants to bless you. Can I just pray for you? And they go, well, I don't need prayer. I'm good. You know? Why? Because they've got a mentality of, well, you only need prayer if you're really jacked up. And if people see you praying for me, they'll think I'm really jacked up and I'm probably cheating on my spouse and all that. You know, like, no, you don't pray for me. I'm good. No, blessing prayer. God wants to bless your life. And how many of you know we're all jacked up? And so we need it as much as we can get. And so, but let me show you this. It's also called, another word for this is impartation prayer. Impartation. That's where you pray for someone and you lay hands on them and your intention is that God would bless them. I'm going to pray that God would bless you right now with some spiritual gift, okay, or some spiritual empowering. Impartation prayer. Again, I think a lot of Christians do this and they don't even, let me pray for you, brother. You know, and it's just natural. I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder. I think a lot of Christians who, if they heard the word impartation, they'd be like, ooh, big scary word. I'm not sure about that. But they do it all the time anyways, you know? And so, but impartation just means to give, to transfer, or bestow. It's all that means, okay? But it means when you lay your hand on somebody and pray for them, okay? But you might be surprised as I read through quite a few scriptures here, and I'm going to help you see this as for the common folk. on a daily basis, okay? Not just for, oh, Mr. Ordained Minister, okay? Acts 8:14-17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, okay? Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Talking about baptism in water, so they've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. They have the Spirit in them, but they haven't been filled with the Spirit. They haven't had this empowering or this gifting of the Spirit. And the apostles knew how important that was. And so, verse 17, then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And it's talking about the empowerment, the gifting, the filling, okay? Acts 9:17, the apostle Paul used to be an enemy of Christianity. His name was Saul before God changed his name, right? And God knocked him off his high horse. He saw a vision of Jesus, and Jesus is like, stop persecuting me. And he's like, oh boy, I better change my life, right? Well, this is what happens. Acts 9:17, then Ananias went to his house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you that you may see again and what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, Acts 19:6. When Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road to the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard there's a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, when Paul did what? When he placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, demonstrated spiritual gifts. 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul writing to his protege Timothy, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of elders did what? Laid their hands on you. And I want to point out, he said also through prophecy. I can't tell you how many times when I'm praying for someone and I put my hand on their shoulder and these words, like God is just dumping words on me to say, and I start praying them over them. And I've come to learn. I used to do that in ignorance, just like, oh, this sounds good. You know, and you know, pray it. What is that's a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit's giving you for that person, prophetic prayer. And Paul says Timothy's gift was also given through the prophetic word. And so prophetic stuff goes with impartation, that when you lay hands on someone and if God's stirring something in you to say for them, you say it over them. And that can release a spiritual gift in their life. That can bestow a gift on their life. Again, you're not doing it. God's doing it through you. And then 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then Hebrews 6:1-2 sums this all up. It says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of, and then he lists a bunch of what he considers elementary or basic teachings about Jesus. Not laying again the foundation of repentance of acts that lead to death, faith in God, instructions about cleansing rites, also translated as baptisms in another language. Baptisms, plural, because baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit, which is the filling of the Spirit. The laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. We'll move on from these very elementary, basic things to the deep things of God. He's like, I want to get to the deep things of God, right? That's what he's talking about. But we got to lay this foundation of elementary, basic things. And my point is, in this scripture, this apostle is making the argument that the laying on of hands, impartation prayer for the bestowing of an anointing of the Holy Spirit, a transfer or whatever, That should be a basic of Christianity. That should be basic. That should just be part of what we do as churches and as Christians. Just very basic, and then we can move on to more deep things of God. Okay, so that is. Sorry, I'm looking at my time here. I think I just preached way too long. But anyways, that is. I forget what I was going to say. That is the message for today. I was going to tell you a big part of my story, but I think y'all get it. I've experienced lots of these things in various ways, and I'm so thankful for them. And I'll tell you one part of my story. It's actually the tail end. But 3 years ago, I went to a thing called Deliverance Prayer. I didn't even know what it meant. It was a training, and the leader there, Harold Oberschlake, prayed for me at the end, and he put his hand on my chest, and he just prayed a prayer blessing over my life, and so much of what he said deeply resonated. He had no clue what was going on in my life. He didn't even know me at the time, and I was like, how does he know this? You know, that type of stuff, and I was just bawling like a baby, and I remember him saying, Father, I impart to him any gift I have that you want to give him, an anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know, empower gifts he has that he doesn't even know he has. Give him new gifts, God. Just empower him, bless him today. Just fill him up. You know, he prayed for my wife the same way. And we're both just bawling like babies. And we're like, why are we crying? I don't know. You know, and one of those things. And then we had to leave quickly to get to a nephew's birthday party, you know, and we walk out of there and we're just like, well, that was interesting, you know, and we get to, here's when I knew something crazy had happened. Because I'm emotional. I cry all the time, especially with God, you know. But, I mean, this was like weeping. I don't always do that. But we get to this birthday party, and I just see my nephew. I see my brother. I see all these people in my family. And every person I look at, I'm like, oh, I love you so much. Oh, do you know how much God loves you? I just want to tell you how much God loves you. Let me hug you. Oh. You know, it's like, and man, I was not that way before. You know, it's like, oh, nephew's birthday party, here we are. You know, like that's how we all get. We tend to take people for granted, even our family. And you know, that's, I'm the same way, you know. But that day, it's like, oh, God loves everybody so much, and I love you. And love, joy, peace. I mean, for months, my wife and I, we would look at it, months later, look at each other and be like, why are we so happy? Like, what happened to us, you know, like, and we'd experienced joy and peace in the Holy Spirit before, but here's what this was. This was just a whole new level. This was a filling of the Spirit and a washing and a just, woo, just amazing. Now, was I saved before? Yeah. Had I been filled with the Spirit before? Yeah. But man, this was just a new level. And I had way more confidence in my faith, and I felt empowered. Like, you read, oh, I'm empowered, I can do what God wants me to, okay. And you can slog through that sometimes, right? I'm telling you, though, when you have a filling of the Spirit, you know you're empowered, and you are confident, right? You're not trying to muster it up, like, I should really be confident in it. Like, no, you just are. That's the empowering. That's what God wants to do in your life. That's the anointing. That's the gifting. I want to, with that being said, we're going to close today with a special prayer time. I want to ask our prayer team and our core team to come on up and line up in the front here. And they're just going to line up on both sides of the stage. And as you're lining up, if you could, just try to even out like male and female on both sides, okay, if that makes sense. But just line up, and I don't know how many we'll have, but try to even it out, please. And here's how we're going to end. We left some time here, 15, 20 minutes on purpose. That's why we kind of had an abbreviated musical part of the service today so that we can make time for this. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to just put some music on, and we're just going to have you all here in a minute stand up and go to the outside of your rows and then come forward and walk past these rows of prayer people. It looks like we need maybe a couple of you go over here, or one or two of you. Yeah, there we go. Not everybody. Okay, so just walk along these rows of people and single file and walk slowly and try not to stop, you know, but if you need to stop, that's cool. And don't like just, oh, I love Claudia. I'm going to go to Claudia and have Claudia pray with me. Like, don't do that. Just walk through, okay, and then you'll come back through to your seats up through here. And as you walk by, they're just going to put their hands on you, on your shoulder or wherever in a, you know, appropriate place. Just put it on your shoulder, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. And we're just going to pray. We're just going to pray blessing. We're going to pray Holy Spirit on you. We're going to pray spiritual gifts. We're going to pray God fills you in a special way and just blesses you. And so that's all we're doing. And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to move in a powerful way. Some of you might get really emotional and you won't know why. You're like, why am I crying? Why am I happy? You know, That's awesome. Praise God. Some of you are going to receive a spiritual gift. Some of you, you might get healed physically. I don't know what God's going to do. He can do anything. Miracles could take place here. It's going to be awesome. This is what happens. And we're just going to pray for that. And some of y'all, our core team did this a few months ago, and we went to Open Heaven again, Harold Oberschlake's ministry, and they were doing a prayer night, and they were praying, and Rihanna Warren had neck pain in her neck for a long time, and she was walking through, and somebody laid their hand and prayed for her, and the pain just went away, and she was healed, and she, I'm like sitting there, and somebody, I'm talking to somebody, and I just hear, woo, 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 you know, and she's like yelling, like Pentecostal yelling, you know, woo, 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 woo. And I was like, you know, other people were yelling. I'm like, whatever, you know. And I'm like, and somebody goes, that's Rihanna. And I go, I look up and go, oh, that's interesting, you know. And because if you know Rihanna, she's not the type. She would be embarrassed to just be like in church and be like, wah, 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 you know. But here's why I tell you that story. When the Holy Spirit fills you, when God does a miracle and you know it, you tend to get a little excited. Okay? And I say that to the people who may be new here or you may be skeptical, and you might hear people get excited today. I just want you to know it's positive. This is the Lord. He's moving. It's an unseen thing, isn't it? And so you're not experiencing it, are you? They are, okay? And so that's all. That's all that it is. It's the Holy Spirit moving on people. And so that's it. And so would you guys stand with us? And we're going to pray. And last thing I want to say, if you're new here or new to Jesus or church and this is freaking you out, you don't have to do this. Just feel free to sit in your seat. Nobody's going to judge you. It's totally fine. And so we'll assume you're really holy and you don't even need this, you know. Seriously. But that being said, I think, man, everybody needs this, you know. And this is blessing. This is blessing. And so if you're a believer in this room, come and get prayer. If you're not a believer in this room and you just want to seek God and get prayer, come get prayer. But again, if you're uncomfortable, feel free to just hang out. But if you want to do this, just hold out your hands. I'm going to lead us in a short prayer to get us going. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this moment, God. And we just pray that you would fill us with your power and just bless us. Fill us up, God. And so everybody that wants the Holy Spirit today to bless them, just repeat after me. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.